Welcome to our deep dive into the idea of temptation. Looking at these sources, it's all from the Bible. And it looks like you're really interested in kind of getting to the heart of this universal experience.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how these ancient texts can be so relevant even today. They offer insights into human nature that I think really transcend any specific time period or belief system.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we're not just going to be kind of listing off verses here, but we're going to dig into the deeper meaning and how these ideas can actually apply to you today. So why don't we start with a story that I think a lot of people are familiar with, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, Genesis chapter 3. It's not just about some forbidden fruit, right? The serpent, he's pretty clever. Hmm. He dangles this promise of becoming like God, knowing good and evil. That taps into, I think, a really, really deep human longing, autonomy, you know, the freedom to define our own reality.
I mean, that makes you think, right, like what makes temptation so alluring in the first place? It's not just about the thing itself, right? It's something deeper, a desire for control, for knowledge, for something more.
And that desire for knowledge, that desire for independence, it's something that we see again and again throughout history. Societies are grappling with the balance between individual freedom and societal rules. Even within ourselves, we all face that tension.
And that brings us to a really interesting point you made about the book of James, specifically chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You know, it says that temptation doesn't come from outside, but from our own desires.
Yeah, it's a powerful way to shift your perspective, isn't it? Because instead of kind of placing the blame outside of ourselves on external forces, it really challenges us to look inward, to understand, you know, those desires that are shaping our choices.
So self-awareness then, would you say that self-awareness becomes like a really key part of navigating temptation?
Absolutely. If you don't even know what tempts you, you're always going to be caught off guard. Think about it. What are the things that pull you off track? The situations where you are most vulnerable to making choices you later regret.
That's a good point. It's like knowing your enemy. The more you understand those internal triggers, the better equipped you are to face them.
Exactly. And now you also highlighted 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It offers a bit of comfort, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, that was a relief to read because it basically says, hey, everybody faces temptation. You're not alone. No one is immune to this struggle.
Right. Which brings us to another point from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. It reminds us that even Jesus was tempted. Just let that sink in for a second.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if Jesus, who we often hold up as the ultimate example of righteousness, if he faced temptation, I mean, it kind of normalizes the experience for the rest of us.
Exactly. And because he experienced that struggle firsthand, he can empathize with us. He can understand what it's like to be pulled in different directions.
So that shared experience, that sense of understanding, can be a source of comfort when we're facing our own battles.
Absolutely. It reminds us we're not alone in this journey. There's support available, both from a higher power and from each other.
Okay, so I've kind of established that temptation is universal. It comes from within. Even Jesus faced it. But that doesn't really tell us how to deal with it, you know, in our own lives. Where do we even begin?
Well, you know, you highlighted Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, which offers a simple but often overlooked starting point. It reminds us to pray for guidance and strength. Has that been helpful for you in your own life?
I think for me, it's less about asking for a specific outcome and more about connecting to something that's bigger than myself. It's like finding a moment of stillness amidst the chaos, a reminder that I'm not alone in this.
That's beautifully put. It echoes what we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It paints a vivid picture of the devil as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
That's intense.
Yeah.
It definitely suggests that we need to be proactive in our approach to temptation. We can't just sit back and hope that it goes away.
Exactly. This isn't a passive battle. We need to be aware of our vulnerabilities and develop strategies for resisting those urges that can lead us astray.
And speaking of strategy, you mentioned Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. It talks about the spirit being willing, but the flesh being weak. Like that internal struggle we all experience.
Precisely. We can have the best intentions, the strongest resolve. But then those immediate desires, those tempting shortcuts, they can pull us off course. So we need to kind of build a bridge between our intentions and our actions.
So it's not just about willpower. It's about developing practical tools and techniques to help us navigate those tricky situations.
Exactly. And one of the most powerful tools you have is self-awareness.
Okay, we've talked about that a bit already. But how do we actually put that into practice?
Well, think about it like this. You're a detective investigating a case. You're a detective investigating a case. Your case is the case of the recurring temptation. You need to gather evidence, identify patterns, and figure out the why behind your actions. What are the specific situations, emotions, or even times of day? When are you most susceptible?
Okay, so like, if I always reach for a sugary snack when I'm stressed, that's a clue.
Yeah, exactly. That tells you that stress is a trigger for you. Once you know that, you can start to build up defenses. Maybe it's having healthier snacks on hand. Or maybe you find a new way to cope with that stress, like going for a walk or calling a friend.
But you create a game plan. You anticipate the opponent's moves. And you have your counter moves ready.
That's a great analogy. And just like in a game, you don't have to play alone. You highlighted some verses that talk about the importance of community, leaning on others for support.
Yeah, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, it talks about how temptation can weaken our faith if we're not rooted in something strong. It makes me think about how important it is to have people in our lives who can encourage us, who can remind us of our values, you know, when we're feeling kind of lost.
Absolutely. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, there's this reminder that God is always there to help us through tough times. It's a powerful message of hope, knowing we're not alone in this.
And there's also Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, talking about enduring trials.
Right.
Doesn't exactly make temptation sound fun, but it does suggest that there's something to be gained from going through these challenges.
Right. It's almost like those trials are a form of spiritual training. Each time we resist, we build up that resilience. We become stronger in our convictions.
I like that. So it's not about avoiding temptation altogether, which is probably impossible, but about learning from those experiences and using them to grow.
Exactly. And you also highlighted a verse from James, chapter 4, verse 7. It gives us very direct instruction. It says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you."
Powerful stuff. It puts the power back in our hands. We're not just victims of circumstance.
Yeah.
But we're active participants in this battle.
Mm.
But how do we know what to resist? Sometimes those temptations can feel really alluring.
Right.
Really good in the moment. Like the desire for success or recognition.
That's where discernment comes in, and that's something you find addressed in a few of the verses you chose, especially 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, where it warns about the dangers of materialism and the pursuit of wealth. I mean, these are things that our culture often celebrates, right?
Yeah.
But this verse challenges us to question those values.
To consider the potential downsides, the ways those desires can actually lead us astray. Like, just because something is tempting doesn't mean it's actually good for us. Sometimes the things that seem the most appealing can be the most harmful. In the long run.
Exactly. And that connects to another verse you highlighted, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It encourages us to walk by the Spirit, to let our spiritual values guide our choices rather than our impulsive desires.
So it's about checking in with ourselves and asking, is this decision aligned with who I want to be, with my deepest value?
Exactly. Choosing our future selves over our impulsive selves. You also highlighted a few verses that use really powerful metaphors, like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, about putting on the whole armor of God.
Yeah, that's a great image. It makes me think of suiting up for battle, you know, being prepared for the challenges ahead. Because let's face it, this whole resisting temptation thing, it's rarely easy.
And it's a lifelong process, isn't it? Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 talks about putting to death those desires that lead us astray. It's not a one-time fix. It's a continual process of growth and refinement.
It's like we're constantly pruning away the negatives and making space for the positive to flourish.
Exactly. And through it all, we have to remember we're not alone. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, reminds us that Jesus understands our struggles. He can empathize with our weaknesses.
Yeah, it's comforting to know we have someone in our corner who's been there, who gets it.
And then there's this beautiful reminder in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, about the power of community. Jesus talks about praying for Peter so that his faith wouldn't fail. It highlights how important it is to have people in our lives who can offer support, encouragement, and accountability.
It's like having a team of cheerleaders, mm-hmm. reminding us of our strengths and helping us stay on track when we're feeling discouraged. But, you know, speaking of encouragement, you also highlighted a really interesting verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 21. It takes a different approach, suggesting that we overcome evil with good.
Right. It's a proactive approach. Rather than just trying to avoid temptation, it's about filling our lives with so much good that there's less space for the negative to take hold. What do you think about that approach?
It's like we're not just playing defense, but going on offense.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to avoid bad things, we're actively cultivating good things.
Precisely. Think about it this way. if you're feeling tempted to gossip, maybe you reach out to someone and offer a genuine compliment instead. Or if you're tempted to stay glued to social media, maybe you spend that time volunteering or pursuing a creative hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like redirecting that energy, that urge, towards something that nourishes us, something that has a positive impact.
Exactly. And that can be so much more empowering than just trying to suppress those desires. It's about creating a life that's so full of good, so aligned with our values, that temptation just has less room to take root.
So if we're constantly bombarded with messages about what we should want, how do we figure out what we actually desire? The things that are truly meaningful to us?
That's where the real work begins. It's about tuning out the noise, quieting those external voices, and listening to that inner wisdom. What brings you joy? What makes you feel alive? What kind of impact do you want to have on the world?
Yeah, it's like we have to become our own inner compass, navigating by our own values rather than just following the crowd.
Exactly. And that takes courage, a willingness to question the status quo, to challenge those deeply ingrained beliefs about what success and happiness and fulfillment should look like.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've explored the roots of temptation, the ways it shows up in our lives, and most importantly, how to navigate those challenges with wisdom and resilience.
And remember, this isn't about being perfect. It's about embracing that journey of growth, knowing that those stumbles are inevitable, but they don't define us. What matters is how we learn from those experiences and keep moving forward.
So as we wrap up, what's one thing you really want our listener to take away from this conversation?
Remember, you have the power to choose. You have the strength within you to resist, to grow, and to become the person you aspire to be. Don't underestimate the power of self-awareness, the importance of community, and the transformative potential of aligning your actions with your deepest values.
Those are some powerful words to carry with us. So to our listener, as you continue your own exploration of temptation, remember, you are not alone in this journey, and you have the power to create a life that is both fulfilling and aligned with your truest self.
Until next time, happy diving.